Well, life keeps going on as if Christmas never even happened. How many of you packed up your tree already? That's right. We pack it up, we put it in the boxes for the shelves. Christmas becomes a 75% off bargain at the stores. The radio stations stop playing the festive music. And that beautiful drive home at night with all the pretty lights suddenly becomes dark again. See, the secular world actually has Christmas a little messed up, because in the Christian church, we celebrate Christmas after Jesus is born. We talk about the 12 days of Christmas, right? They are literally the 12 days from December 25th to today, Epiphany, the 6th. It rarely falls on a Sunday, so it's a special Sunday for us today to have it here. Epiphany, when we celebrate Jesus coming. See, the church celebrates afterwards because we recognize Christmas isn't something we put away. But Christmas is something that really happened. And the reality of it changed everything. It's an epiphany, that light that kind of comes on. The word literally means a manifestation, a striking appearance. In the classical Greek, it was understood to be learned, and if you were up this morning watching that sunrise, it was a beautiful sunrise, right as that light comes up and begins to reveal what's sitting in the darkness. That's an epiphany moment. More literally, it's when a deity becomes an appearance to a worshiping person. That's an epiphany, becoming manifest, appearing. On Christmas Eve, we all get together in the sanctuary throughout the world, holding little candles that light up the space, and we love it. We sing Silent Night together. In that moment, what we're celebrating is that light that is rising, that light coming among us. Now, last week, on Christmas Sunday, the first Christmas Sunday, I preached about curiosity, because it's the story of Jesus in the temple, and when he's 12, and he's curious. And that's how we learn things. We're curious people. I mean, if we're honest, it's why the wise men showed up, right? Not only were they told to go, but they were a curious people. So much so that even after they had this dream, they chose not to go back to Herod, right? Because they got an epiphany. They saw Jesus Christ manifest. And they even showed up prepared with gold. That's meant for royalty, right? Frankincense, which is a tree gum. It's actually used in spiritual things like incense, right? When they were doing a sacrifice. You ever heard the words, holy smoke? That's literally where that comes from, that phrase. This frankincense rising up to God. It was a spiritual awakening. Something new had happened. And they brought myrrh, which is a perfume that they actually used to embalm bodies that had died, which really was a gift towards his humanity, knowing now, as we do, what Christ sacrifices for us. So we have gold as a gift to his royalty. We have frankincense as a gift to that spiritualness, that divinity that is in Christ. And we have myrrh in thanksgiving for the sacrifice, that humanity of Jesus. So the wise men showed up prepared. I began to ask ourselves, well, what do we bring to Jesus? Well, we bring ourselves. And the challenge is, we don't just bring that part of ourselves that we're super proud of. If we're coming to Jesus, we got to bring that stuff we're not proud of. The stuff that we actually hide in the darkness, that when that sun begins to rise, we actually try to hide it. Sometimes we're not even honest with ourselves. We hide our own darkness even within ourselves because we don't even want to see it. But see, we want to bring that stuff to God so that we too can be transformed into this glory. There's a great quote that talks about how there's a crack in everything. And that with the cracks, that's how the light gets in. Well, I actually think we spend our lives knowing there are cracks in us. And we're busy trying to spackle all the cracks that we have. We spackle them with money. We spackle them with our appearance. We spackle them with amazing achievements. And what we're busy doing is trying to fill up cracks that we actually need so that the light can come into us. As Brene Brown says, the bravest among us are always the brokenhearted. She talks about, because if you have the courage to love, to really love, which is what we're called to do, then you will be brokenhearted. And if you have the courage to care and to engage with people, you will be disappointed. And if you have the courage to be creative and innovative and try new things, then you will fail. That's how the world works. Jesus actually came to show us that. Because for us, when we talk about love, we spend way too much fantasizing how great love really is, as if it's a bunch of unicorns and rainbows. But those of us who have really known love know how hard it truly is to love. I mean, Jesus showed us how hard it is when we're holding that stone ready to throw it at somebody else, to be willing to drop it. And Jesus showed us how hard it is and how much we have to stand up against some laws and some rules to really heal people or to feed people. Jesus had a love so great that it led him to death. Talk about brokenhearted. And if we're honest with ourselves, we have to realize that we each die over 1,000 deaths throughout our lives. We die to friends that we've loved. We die to truths that we thought were true. We die to dreams that we've had. We die to marriage. We die to our health. I don't know what your New Year's resolutions are, or even if you bothered to set one, because maybe you're somebody who's like, I've tried that, it's never worked. Not even going to bother. But it is a new year. And it's time for us to let ourselves begin to grieve and own all of those deaths we've been through. To grieve the darkness that is in us, and to surrender all of that to God. I mean, to not be afraid of the darkness, to not deny it, but to own that it is there and to not let it have control over you. And in that, there is grief. And something I've learned throughout my life is to truly experience forgiveness, you have to go through grief because something new has to start. So an example of this would be adultery in a marriage. The man cheated on the spouse, but they've decided that they are going to work through this. But over and over, they end up in this circle because the man cannot let go of his shame. And the woman cannot let go of her anger, as much as they try. And so you have to explain in these situations that you actually now have to die to your shame. You have to die to your anger. You have to die to the marriage that you have always known. And once you let that go, you can let something new grow. They can actually be an even stronger and more powerful than it was before. Because you are not your past. You are not your mistakes. People, you are not your parents. You are not your pain. You are not your addiction. You are not your failures. You are not your sin. See, we have a God, Christ, who became manifest and showed us that you are God's beloved child. You are wonderfully made. You are forgiven. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. You are accepted. You are cleansed. And you are a brand new creation. People of God, Christmas really happened. And it changed everything. Amen.